We are going to read together 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 12. But before we do, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God who speaks and speaks clearly. We pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts to help us to understand your word, to love you and to follow you well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning to read at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. More than that, we are found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Last week we thought about what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, specifically about things that are of first importance. Do you remember? We summed up the verses by saying gospel impact, gospel content, and gospel witness. Gospel impact, that is the impact that the gospel has on a person. As you hold firmly to the word that has been preached, you are saved. That's the impact of the gospel, to be saved. The gospel content, well, there are certain things that you have to believe. What is the content of the gospel? Well, the content of the gospel, primarily, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised. He appeared to witnesses. Those witnesses that saw him alive, certain ones were given a special commission, the apostles. And it's their testimony about the risen Lord Jesus that we are to know and believe. If we move away from their testimony, we don't take our stand on the gospel and we are not saved. Now, sadly, over time, right down through the centuries, people have moved away from these things of first importance. And the impact of that is to no longer be saved. We must recognize that there can only be gospel unity when we agree on the things of first importance. It is very fashionable nowadays to want to be united and truth is just pushed out of the way. Truth doesn't matter. But if we move away from truth, that not only diminishes our gospel witness, but it also is very confusing. How can we be united with people who don't say that Christ died for our sins? And that's it. How can we be united with people who actually say Christ may have died for our sins, but there's some extra stuff that you need to do? So these are the things you need to do as well. That, Paul says, is to nullify the gospel. It's to turn from the gospel to something that is no gospel at all. How can we be united with people who make a separation, a distinction between what the apostles said and what Jesus said? That is to deny something of first importance. It's not to take your stand on the gospel. We could spend ages thinking about that, but let's look at our passage for this week. And this passage is just the best news ever. We're not going to cover all the rest of 1 Corinthians 15. There's so much good truth in here that we're going really slowly and thinking about it to try and let these things soak into our souls. Last Wednesday, I was on an FIEC webinar with about 100 other pastors, and there was a man from Christianity Explored Ministries, who was asked to share some thoughts. And he told us how he has inoperable cancer. And he was given, I think, about 18 months left to live. And that was long, long time ago. He's gone well past the date that they said he would live until. How precious do you think the resurrection of the Lord Jesus is to him? During COVID-19, the seriousness of the virus has made people to stop and think about their own mortality. How precious at this time is the message of the resurrection for Christians who have contracted COVID-19? See, the truth about in Christianity, that we see in Christianity, is that death is not the end. Death is not the end. This isn't wishful thinking to get us through the day. It is the good news. It is the hope of the gospel. In Corinth, there was some false thinking which Paul was seeking to correct. Let's see what some people in Corinth were saying. They were saying, this is the end of verse 12, there is no resurrection of the dead. I would like you to pause this recording and just think about the implications of that. If there is no resurrection from the dead, what impact do you think that would have in your life, in the life of a church congregation? Just think about that for a few moments. If there is no resurrection of the dead, what impact would that have in your life? Now, I don't know what ideas you came up with, but let me suggest that if there was no resurrection of the dead, that would cause great grief. Because someone who is a Christian and dies, if there's no resurrection, then actually that's it for that person. You will never see them again. That will cause you to grieve and be full of grief. I think also it would create great fear, because you, when you die, that's it. That's the end. Which would result in great sin. Because if death is the end, then you will seek to preserve your life, extend your life. You will be terrified to die, which means you will not take risks for the gospel. You will be more concerned about self-preservation than God and his glory and seeking to see his kingdom extended. Plus, if you thought death was the end, there's no resurrection, and you didn't think you were going to live until the return of Jesus, there is no fear of judgment. So you would just live how you like. See, it would result in great sin. You may have come up with other ideas as well. False teaching results in wrong living. We can see that quite clearly in that example. The Apostle Paul refutes that false teaching by applying one of the first important truths to that false belief. Let's just remind ourselves of this false belief. Let's call it a hypothesis. So some people were claiming there is no resurrection of the dead. What truth of first importance that we looked at last time could we use to test that statement? Well, how about the truth that Christ was raised from the dead? That destroys that hypothesis immediately, doesn't it? So look with me at verse 12. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Those things are incompatible. It cannot be true that Christ has been raised from the dead and there is no resurrection of the dead. If there is no resurrection from the dead, then Christ has not been raised from the dead. I don't know if you've ever tried to make a tower of cards. You lean them up against each other and try to make a pyramid. It's such an annoying pastime, because if you knock down one of the cards, one of the wrong cards, it makes all of them fall down. There's a saying, isn't there, about something collapsing being like a house of cards. If Christ has not been raised from the dead, then the whole of the Christian faith collapses like a house of cards. If someone finds the corpse of Jesus, then we may as well eat and drink, because tomorrow we die. But praise God, that will never happen. Our faith is not like a house of cards. Instead, It has the cornerstone of the Lord Jesus Christ. For their false belief to be true, Christ cannot have been raised. Now, what Paul does in these verses that we read together was runs with that idea. So he takes their hypothesis that there's no resurrection from the dead, and he says, well, if that's true, then Christ can't have been raised. And he runs with that. So let's think about what that means. What would that look like if Christ hasn't been raised from the dead? And there are two main points in our reading, and they are stated for us in verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, point one, our preaching is useless. Point two, and so is your faith. So first point, useless preaching. Did Paul pass on the gospel? Why did Paul do that? Why do we pray that God, the Father, would, by his Spirit, give us boldness to pass on the gospel? Because we want to see people saved from God's wrath, which is going to fall on them because of their sin. We want them to be saved from eternal death and enter into eternal life. All this brings great glory to God. Paul has already told us earlier in the letter that I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Paul was all in, totally committed, seeking to preach where the name of Jesus has not been heard. Why? Because he wanted to see people saved. Driving force of his life, his heartbeat, to bring glory to God. If Christ hasn't been raised, then all of Paul's endeavours have been a waste of time. His preaching is futile. But there's more, verse 15. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But if he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. So they are liars. If they've been saying that God has raised Christ from the dead, but actually there's no resurrection and Christ has not been raised, then God hasn't actually raised Christ from the dead. So their preaching has actually been misrepresenting God. They've been saying things about God which are not true. Now, the aim of preaching is to lead people to worship God. But actually, if there's no resurrection, their preaching has not been leading people to worship God. They've been leading people to worshiping a false idea about God, to praise God for something that he hasn't done. That would be idolatry, wouldn't it? It'd be to misrepresent God. So if there's no resurrection, their preaching is useless. They've been misrepresenting God. Now let's turn that around. Preaching that doesn't need a resurrected Jesus is also useless. So preaching a message of try harder, do more, you're amazing, you can do it yourself, doesn't need a resurrected Jesus. And so therefore it is useless preaching. Preaching that isn't useless needs a resurrected Christ. One who dies for our sins, but is risen victorious from the grave. That's point one. If Christ has not been raised, their preaching is useless. Point two, if Christ has not been raised, then their faith is useless. Why? End of verse 17. You are still in your sins. For Paul, the resurrection is proof that they are no longer in their sins, that sin has been dealt with. But if there is no resurrection, their sin has not been dealt with, and their faith is futile. They are not saved. Meaning, verse 18, those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. Now look with me how Paul concludes or where this leads. Verse 19, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Faith primarily is about future hope, blessing and certainty. if there is no resurrection, if those who fall asleep in Christ are lost, then pursuing Christ in this life makes no sense and we are to be pitied. You would be an absolute fool to beat your body and make it your slave for the cause of Christ, chapter 9, verse 27, if at the end of it all there is no crown, instead it's just a full stop. It's crazy to decide not to get married, to be more devoted to the Lord without divided interest, chapter 7, verse 35, if when you die, that's the end. It's pointless to allow yourself to be wrong, chapter 6, verse 7, certain of the hope of eternal reward, if there is no eternal reward. If there's no resurrection, your faith and your behaviour is to be pitied. Now, here's a challenging point. Just think on this. If you died today and that was the end, and the whole thing was a complex hoax, would you think, just before you die, yes, I deserve pity from people because I have foolishly thrown my life away? Or would you actually think, as you look back on your life, well, actually, life hasn't been all that bad. It's actually been pretty good. Don't feel sorry for me. It's actually really been okay. If that's what we think, then maybe we haven't actually got it. Maybe this faith we claim to believe isn't actually making any impact and isn't genuine. Maybe we're not really making our stand on it. If you think, well, Christ died for my sins to save me from God's wrath, and that's convenient because I've got quite a lot of sin and it isn't resulting in any change or hatred of sin or turning away from our wrong and seeking to increasingly be a living sacrifice, then I'm not sure we can say with any assurance that we've come into a real relationship with God. So what have we seen? There is a false idea circulating in Corinth. That false idea is that there is no resurrection of the dead. Paul destroys that false thinking by reminding them that Christ has been raised, so resurrection does happen. For there to be no resurrection, Christ cannot have been raised. And if that were true, then actually, Paul and all the apostles preaching is actually useless. And so is their faith. But next week, we're going to see Paul affirming that Christ has been raised. A couple of questions to think about before you go to the time of prayer. In your own words, why without the resurrection of Jesus is faith useless? So in your own words, explain why without the resurrection of Jesus your faith is useless. And then number two, is this statement true for you? If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Is that statement true for you? If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this audio recording. If you have any questions or would like to discuss anything further, please simply reply to this email.